Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Off the ball, GAA.
Davey Burke coming out after a game and making comments like that. I'm not sure how exactly helpful it is to his team, but maybe he's trying to get a message across to them that, you know, the last couple of weeks haven't been good enough.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Welcome along. It is Who You Got. It's quarterfinal weekend in the FA Cup, and there's a bit of a new feel about this. Fulham, Crystal Palace, hoping to win the FA Cup for the first time in their history. You've got some teams that haven't won the FA Cup in a long time, but do have history in the competition, like Preston and Aston Villa. And Manchester City's season really comes down to winning the FA Cup at this stage, because they've got nothing else left. So that is the lay of the land going into quarterfinal weekend. We've got Ger Gilroy here. Ger, how are you?
Pretty good.
And we've got Shane Hannon as well. How are you, Shane?
How are things?
Ger, I don't know where you sit on this. This is a difficult weekend to predict before we get into it, because we just had an international break. You have teams like Brighton who were in flying form and then stop. We're not sure who's fit coming out of the break. And now here we are having to pick FA Cup games.
It's also not just who's fit. It's who they've decided they're going to pick. Clearly, at the start of the season, some managers tell players you're going to be picked for all the big cup games. And then as you get deeper in the tournament, you're like, ooh, do I have to pick this? I would like to pick my full first team. And then there are still some managers who are like, FA Cup, none to me. I'm bonused on my league position. They don't see the romance of the cup because, you know, they didn't grow up watching the 5 hours of live TV coverage before the 3 o'clock Saturday kickoff as kids. And so it doesn't seem to matter as much to them. Mm. And so I don't know what team they're all going to pick.
Well, that's the thing, Shane. So £1.8 million if you win the FA Cup. You get about £2 million quid for each league position. Most of the teams we're talking about here, Villa will obviously still be chasing a European place through the league. But aside from that, and Man City maybe wanting to finish in the top five, a lot of these teams are safe. Even Preston, who are mid-table in the Championship, surely they should all be having a go at the Cup, though.
Yeah, safe, but also still, like the likes of Bournemouth and Forest certainly want to finish as high as they possibly can. Well, they all want to finish as high as they possibly can in the league. But it does have a strange feel, like this final eight grouping, because you don't have an Arsenal, you don't have a Liverpool, a Manchester United, a Tottenham, a Chelsea. It's just a bit different. It's not quite the Portsmouth 2010, Wigan 2011 sort of thing, unless maybe Preston can go on and win the FA Cup from here. But as Ger said, it's fairly tough to predict these when you don't have any clue what they're going to... Like, even like Fulham, Crystal Palace, like... Fulham play Arsenal on Tuesday. So, like,
Forest have a massive game on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And, I can see the case for Forest picking a B team for this game and going, I'm putting my chips in qualifying for the Champions League, because it's such a game changer for the fans and it's such a game changer for the club and all this. Like, they're very good at recruitment. And if they could pile on an extra 60 million for their recruitment, I can understand that. Like, Villa are obviously still in the Champions League, but this is, I don't know, is it easier to win this cup than it is? Like, is it much easier to win this single round knockout ties with Man City still in the competition than it is?
Real Madrid on your side, the draw in the Champions League.
I know, it's outrageous to think that Villa might win the Champions League, but and it's probably not outrageous to think that they have a good chance of winning this. I haven't said that. What team is he going to pick?
I did ask Mick on this very slot recently, and as another Villa fan, I'll ask you, Ger. Would you prefer get to a Champions League final and lose, or win the FA Cup?
A Champions League final and lose.
Really?
Oh, what an occasion. It's unbelievable.
Silverware, though.
But like...
Something to celebrate.
Yeah. Would Spurs fans have taken an FA Cup now rather than reaching the final? Like, if you reach the final and it's the end of the club explodes in an orgy of debt afterwards, then... No, probably not.
Well, there's no orgy of debt, but Spurs didn't really kick on in the 6 years before.
Yeah, they didn't. Their manager burned out, and the league performance that year was kind of a harbinger of things to come, and they were based around having one world-class player.
Mm.
Like, that's not the case with Villa. They have a load of players of fairly similar standards,
yeah,
and they've got this mad genius manager who has dragged them with the 10th highest wage bill in European football to, you know, the last eight of European football.
What an underdog story that
exactly,
is.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, there you go. Villa, seven-time winners of the competition. They're the team with all the prestige when it comes to this, but they haven't won the cup since the 1950s. Let's have a look then at how we are looking overall for the season. We didn't have a show last week, but 2 weeks ago the scores were poor because all of us were on Liverpool in the Carabao Cup final. So let's have a look at the season standings then. Jerry, you're bottom. 53.
Headline there.
Colm and Phil have both pulled away a little bit from the bottom. So Colm is on 55. You've got Phil on 59. John is on 62. John was the only person to predict Newcastle to win the Carabao Cup final, which helped him a lot. He's gone level with Kathleen. You've got Nathan 2 points ahead on 64. And then the Champions League spots, you've got Owen sitting on 65 along with Shane. Shane, you've had a good few weeks.
I have. I was kind of in the doldrums there, third bottom for quite some time, and I just had a bit of a stir up the I'm supplementing now. If I get top three, I'll be quite happy.
Yeah, the top two, been the top two for a while.
What do you have it? It's win or bust.
I know.
There's no European places. There's no Europa League. There's no conference. It's win or bust.
Well, there's egos at stake here. So where are you finishing in the order?
Yeah, win or bust.
Yeah. We also had no punishment or relegation last year. So I assume
the record books aren't going to show that I was the 10th loser. They're going to show I finished somewhere behind the winner.
True.
Officially, is this MLS chair where like we basically have a franchise and we can bring people up, but we never bring people down?
Exactly. There's no relegation.
Fair enough.
Oh, we'll see.
Mick is on 71 and I am on 74. So the lead has been cut at the top by Mick by, I think, one from 2 weeks ago. So this week's fixtures then. Let's kick things off with a game between two teams who are just 10 miles away from each other, which is Fulham against Crystal Palace. Palace won 2-0 Craven Cottage in the Premier League just a couple of months ago. But Fulham haven't beaten Palace at home since 2005, Jared.
What?
Is it going to happen this
really?
Time? Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's a stat.
Very poor record at home against them. Now, they were in different divisions for a while in that period, naturally as well. Mm. But still, it's a long time since they've beaten them at home.
They would have played a good bit though, right? This isn't two games. It's six or eight games.
Yeah, I think it's seven.
Right.
Up to that 2-0 win for Palace, yeah.
I think, so at the end of last season, very impressed with what Palace had done. And then obviously, their best player leaves and is now tearing up trees at the elite level of football. So, I think they have a really good manager, and there was a difficult start of the season for them, and they're coming good. I do wonder about Fulham on the other track. Started quite well, and I wonder if maybe a little bit of the heat is coming off their performances over the next while. Will we see that actually these two are very similar, and they're going to equalise and end up kind of cheek by jowl in the final table? So very, very difficult to predict. I think that perhaps... did I go for a full win here? I think I did, didn't I?
See, this is what I just had to check what I was opting for as well.
This is a slight worry. We do have the graphic if you want to throw it up here for Fulham against Crystal Palace. Let's see where Jerry's
at. Yeah, Fulham 2-1. And yeah. I stick with that, but...
I've not talked myself out of it in the last 4 minutes. what about you, Shane?
Yeah, I've gone for Fulham 2-0. Look, I kind of opted for Fulham before I realised that they're playing Arsenal on a Tuesday evening. That's a fairly difficult game to come off the back of. But like, it's just one of those fixtures. You expect both of these teams to go hell for leather at the FA Cup. The fact that Fulham got over Manchester United on penalties the last time, you'd expect they'd want to push on a little bit.
Was that the worst period though for Man United? That was in the middle of their...
There's been a lot of them.
But they've turned a corner, yeah. Right?
A little edge around a corner, possibly, potentially. But
you can see the corner.
You can see a glimmer of faint light. I wouldn't even call it light. But Fulham probably were deserving of the win that day, in fairness. United couldn't have really any complaints and probably were lucky that it went all the way to penalties. Fulham, Palace looking for their maiden win in the FA Cup. So this is going to be two teams who really want to kind of push on a little bit. Often home form doesn't necessarily come into it in the FA Cup. You see a lot of results in this year's FA Cup where the home team just hasn't performed whatsoever. It comes down to, as we said, the teams that they opt for, how much they want it. And when it's coming off the back of an international break, it just adds to the element of what the hell is going on here. So I've tentatively gone for Fulham 2-0.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be close. So I've gone for the draw at the end of 90 minutes and then for Crystal Palace to win 2-1 after extra time. Similarly, Nathan has gone for a draw and it'll go all the way and Palace will win on penalties. We're very split in this one though. Owen has gone for Fulham to win 2-1. Jerry, same score. Colm has gone for Palace to win 1-0. Steve-O has picked for John this week and Steve-O has gone for a 2-1 win for Crystal Palace on the road. Mick has gone for a 2-1 win for Fulham inside the 90 minutes. So again, we've got plenty of differing voices on this one when it comes to Palace against Fulham. They've got a very differing record in the FA Cup as well, lads, when it comes to quarterfinals. So Palace have won 4 of their last 5 in the quarterfinals. We all remember Alan Pardew dancing on the sideline when they got to the final a few years ago. Fulham have lost all 4 occasions they've got to a quarterfinal, including that Manchester United game where they probably should have won.
You would say that doesn't matter. It's totally irrelevant because almost none of the characters involved are involved. But it must matter at some fundamental psychic level we don't fully understand or believe in, right?
It does when Fulham should have won at Old Trafford 2 years ago and didn't.
Maybe it's the thing that Palace really like the cup and their fans will be totally up for this and the away fans at a cup game might be more vociferous. I don't know. It makes no sense, right?
Yeah, and it's also like, do teams actually believe they can win the FA Cup this round though? Yeah. This quarterfinal is when it actually
takes off. These two are actually looking at this going, you know, but they're also looking at their win bonus for the game in the middle of the week and like, well, yeah, it doesn't really matter.
To me, this feels like a golden opportunity though. As you reeled off earlier saying, Newcastle gone, Tottenham gone, Liverpool gone, Man United gone. Man City are like the big shark in the water right now. But aside from that, City could slip up along the way. Bournemouth's a difficult game. We'll talk about it in a few
minutes. And it's not the real City anymore. Yeah. I think the fact that the Europa League, both of these teams could do well in the Europa League.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You would, and the way the format of the Europa League is that they're going to be guaranteed 8 games in Europe. The prize money is unbelievable for the Europa League. They surely are thinking and are properly incentivized to try and win this.
And you should be anyway. But you also wonder, like the coaches that come from outside, say the UK, or the players that come from outside the UK.
Are you about to say they don't understand our game?
No, it's not even that, but how much do they actually genuinely care? Like the FA Cup is built up as the massive thing in the UK, but to these foreign players, it's not.
But a season of European football and good quality performances by the coaching ticket in European football would get them a bigger job.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Like, Glasner
was been linked with all the big gigs, then Palace started the season poorly and now he's back in vogue again.
And say they were to win this competition and have reach quarterfinals of the Europa League next season, he is suddenly catapulted into the realm of the next PSG, Juventus, that level, like maybe a Bayern manager. I mean, if Vincent Kompany can get the Bayern job, right?
He got that in his playing career, though.
Which Sean Dyche wasn't too pleased with. Was it Sean Dyche giving that a bit?
Sean Dyche is with us on Tuesday. We can talk about Kompany.
We'll hear all about him,
OTB Breakfast. Looking forward to him and Keith Tracy are going to be on the show. Let's have a look at Brighton Nottingham Forest then, because it's their first ever meeting in the FA Cup between these two teams.
That's bad.
Yeah, Brighton haven't won a trophy since the Charity Shield, 1910. Not long.
You're reading out the stats here.
I know. Have them all to go. We'll run out of them eventually. Yeah. But let's see how we've gone for this one. So bear in mind as well that there was a Nottingham Forest hammering of Brighton not that long ago. When I heard 7-0 from Sebo, I thought maybe it was a repeat of the Premier League in this one. But no, Colm has gone for Brighton to win 3-1. Owen has gone for Forest winning on the road 2-0. Jared's gone for Brighton 3-1. John's prediction is Forest to win a penalty. It's going to be 1-1 after extra time. Mick has gone for Brighton 2-0. Nathan's gone for Brighton 2-1. Phil has gone for Brighton 2-1. Shane has gone for Forest 3-1. And I've gone for Brighton 2-1. So Shane, as the man who's kind of going against the trend here with Forest, why are Nottingham Forest going to beat them?
I feel a little bit lonely, actually. I thought there'd be more support for Forest in this
game.
Especially
hammered them only a couple of months ago.
Yeah, true. It's a strange one.
Wasn't that a weird game? Was it
out of the blue?
Was it not like Forrest had scored with every shot and Brighton?
Yeah.
Am I right? It was 7-0. Sorry, obviously it wasn't.
When you win 7-0, I guess you're out. You're
well, it was the
you're
weird,
comfortable enough.
It was
anyway.
A weird period of Nottingham Forest.
2-0 at half-time.
Yeah, they hammered Brighton. Then they got hammered themselves by Newcastle. So there was a very, very strange period there. Brighton's form is excellent, but we'll get on to that in a second. Yeah. Give me the case for Nottingham Forest.
I don't know. Like I watched a lot of the Forest-Ipswich game in the last round and Forest needed penalties to win in that one. Obviously, Brighton got over Newcastle. That was probably a better game, in fairness, to watch. But I don't know. The Forest story has been astonishing. And since that 7-0 in February, it's probably... It's not stagnated, but it's been mixed bag. Essentially, they're still obviously there right on the table. Like the question is, and I probably am answering this in my own head. I'm thinking that they really want to win an FA Cup rather than just consolidate that third or fourth place, whatever it's going to be in the Premier League.
I disagree with you. No, but they're getting, I think if there's any team who should rotate, it should be Forest.
Well, no, I definitely think that's the priority. Top four is the priority over winning the FA Cup. But it's getting to the point now where if they can just get a few more results and get a bit of momentum going in the league, that'll be almost a sure thing in the next few weeks. Famous last words. But Forest just, look, they have the FA Cup pedigree a little bit, somewhat. And then in recent weeks, there's something from them that I think is still there. And I don't know, the Amex doesn't seem to me like and the stats could prove me wrong here, but the Amex isn't necessarily one of those grounds where the atmosphere would strike you as electric and fearsome, unlike Sellers Park, say,
too
under
sunny
the lights.
In Brighton, is it?
It's too sunny in Brighton.
But like, cafes are too good, too hipster.
Exactly, but it's not a Palace away, and it's not even Brentford possibly. You know, there are some away grounds where it strikes fear.
Bear in mind, Plymouth won at Brentford, but go on.
True, but yeah, it's a fair point. But I just think Forest possibly will have too much for Brighton this weekend, and I've gone for a four-goal thriller with 3-1 Forest.
My only concern about this as a Brighton backer when it comes to this game is not backing the other side of the international break. So Brighton were unbeaten in 7 going into it. I'd rescue that really good draw against City, and then their players disappear for 10 days. They were actually flying coming into it. So, I don't know, I think if Brighton are at their best, they're winning this, Jer. What do you think?
I think that Brighton are actually a better team than Forest, and that Forest are having one of these remarkable seasons that sometimes teams do have, and that over the next 3 or 4 years that Brighton will on average finish higher than Forest. Notwithstanding that, when you're in a moment like Forest are at the moment, like, they probably should be going for this. You know, what are they? They're on 54 points. City are in fifth on 48. That's a 6-point cushion to the team in fifth. 7 points to Newcastle, who have a game in hand. Like, it's there for you now. A season of glory, almost similar to the seasons of glory that are on the walls around the club. Like, it's not quite the European Cup, but qualifying for the European Cup and also winning the FA Cup.
Well, that would be DVD levels. Make a DVD about finishing third and winning the FA Cup. I mean, that's an unbelievable season for Forest. You know, coming out of nowhere.
Are you being patronising?
No, genuine. Like,
it's hard to tell, isn't it? It's like, wow, Man United fans patronising the world about making DVDs.
Well, listen, United have been that crap that I thought they'd make a DVD over winning the FA Cup last year, but they didn't. But for a Forest, if they did that 100%, that's a season of seasons. That's unbelievable.
It's the streaming age, Shane. There's no DVDs being made out.
What do you say now? What's the...
I think Man United might have made a DVD.
A documentary.
A Netflix special, yeah.
Kobe Mainoo's Day Out at Wembley.
Yeah.
Right, you have made the predictions when it comes to the charity bet. So let's bring in Sam Norris here as well. Sam, how are you getting on?
Yeah, good, thank you. You talk about players being brought in for the cup only. My only other appearance on the podcast this year was the previous round of the FA Cup. So
you're an FA Cup veteran and specialist.
What does that say about you?
then I'm a cup goalkeeper, clearly, but you know, better
Queeving Kelleher, you know, we do rate our cup goalkeepers very highly in Ireland.
Sam, there's goals galore is what Shane Hannan has picked when it comes to our charity bets this week. Now, Brighton have scored at least 2 goals in the last 7 games that they played, including that draw against Man City. So I'm guessing, Shane, that's why you've gone, before we get Sam's take on it here, as part of the double, you've gone for over 3 goals in Brighton and Forest.
Over 3 goals in Brighton and Forest. It just has that feel. And look, I've backed it up with my prediction of 3-1 Forest. But I think regardless, it's just got one of those kind of mad sort of FA Cup games where it reaches the 55th, 60th minute and two teams get let off the shackles and realise, well, let's just go for this here. We've had plans before the game to just stick to the Premier League plan, but it just goes out the window when it comes to the last half an hour of an FA Cup game. And goals galore could follow. Look, confident in the bet? No, absolutely not. We haven't been all year.
Have you seen our record?
Yeah, but I'm troubled for it. In the second game, obviously, I'm going for a few goals as well.
So we've gone Fulham Palace over 2.5 goals. So a lot of us went for kind of 2-1 predictions. Mm. So you're going for a Saturday of goals. I don't know. I mean, what do you reckon, Sam, on this one? He's been conservative enough with the odds on the double, but if it comes in, I think it comes in around 5-1.
Yeah, as you said, you're short of 5-1 the double, which I think is probably fair enough for these two games. Brighton games in particular this season in the Premier League have been fairly high scoring. They're right toward the top of the kind of both teams to score table as well. I agree that I think Forest are quite a good price this weekend as the outsiders at 3-1 in that match against Brighton, who are 4-5. No Chris Wood's obviously going to be the big miss for Forest, but Taiwo Awoniyi is probably going to come in. It's sort of a like-for-like replacement. I don't think it changes the way they play too much. Morgan Gibbs-White's going to have the bit between his teeth. Obviously, not being called up for England, he was kind of the bigger mission. Then he got into the squad after Cole Palmer's injury. Then he didn't play a minute. So I think he might have something to prove. He was on the score sheet against Brighton in that 7-0 drubbing. So I think Gibbs-White any time at 19-5 interests me, but it could be a game that is full of goals. By the way, a 7-0 repeat in the match for Forest is 150-1. But it's not a bet that I endorse, but that's the price of it.
I'm not sure if you have the odds in front of you, but have William Hill priced this up as Man City as runaway favourites to win the cup from here?
Yeah, 15-8 for Manchester City, you know, which is probably fair enough given their pedigree. Aston Villa the second in at 4-1. They're kind of being priced like they've already beaten Preston, who are 100-1 outsiders. But I think, again, Forest are maybe the team to look at now because they're 12-1. Because they're taking on Brighton, who are odds on this weekend, I mean, there's going to be no 12-1 about Forest if they get through this tie. They're going to be a single-figure price for sure. That's probably the match that I think has got the biggest disparity in it in the 90 minutes market. So therefore, Forest sort of look the value for the cup. But you've got to make City favourites at 15-8.
Can I just ask a question on that? If there was a final tomorrow, Man City are in it, how short a price are they going to be in that final? There'll be odds on, right?
Yeah, neutral venue final. Yeah, they'd be a shade of odds on. Obviously, depends who they're going to play. But yeah, let's say they're not playing Preston. Let's say they're playing one of the other Premier League teams who are all probably going to be priced up much for muchness. I think we'd have City sort of 8-11 favourites.
Yeah, so if you think City are going to win it, now is the time to back that. It's the kind of long range, not quite anti-post, but that's the bit where I definitely would say there might be some value floating around if you have a hunch about what's going to happen here.
Yeah. I suppose the only factor in this really, Sam, is the fact you have to wait for a draw to see what happens for the semi-final as well. So as much as you're saying that Aston Villa are maybe a little bit more narrow than they possibly would be if you were just taking these teams as their relative strengths, everyone is predicting they're going to be Preston this weekend.
Yeah, because if they come up against City in the next round, you're right, the price obviously goes out. Unlike the sort of Champions League, Europa League, where from this stage you can plot a route through to the final. That's the open nature of the FA Cup draw, I suppose.
No one's really given Preston a chance in this next game we're talking about on Sunday, are they? Because they've been indifferent in the Championship, but have obviously gone this nice cup run. But the expectation would be, even if Villa were to change around the team a little bit with some big games coming up, Villa should still have enough for Deepdale on Sunday.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, they're the shortest priced favourite of any team this weekend, unsurprisingly, at 4-9. Preston chalked up at 11-2. The draw is 17-5. I think this is the biggest watch for team news game. I think a lot of these sides are going to go for it. You obviously mentioned at the top of the piece, with the exception of Man City, all of these teams have been on a long trophy drought. Some of them never won a major competition. They'll have seen the scenes at in the Carabao Cup final last week with Newcastle. I think a lot of teams are going to go strong this weekend. I think Villa are the most likely to rotate given the ease of opposition on paper. And they've got an embarrassment of riches really going forward. Watkins, Rodgers, Asensio, Rashford. I think it's unlikely they all start. So this is a big watch for team news game for me. Asensio obviously scored twice in the previous round against Cardiff. He's 7-4 to score anytime. Morgan Rodgers has got a couple of FA Cup goals this season. He's 2-1 anytime. But I think they're the most rotation likely side this weekend, Aston Villa. And it's going to be interesting to see who they put out. With all the other teams playing, I think the rest of them go quite strong.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think with Manchester City mentioned, look, this is the last chance of silverware. It rescues the season a little bit if they go to Wembley and lift the cup. But Bournemouth on the face of it looks like a tricky game for them. So they lost to the Vitality earlier this season. Bournemouth are already having the best season in their history and can probably put a bit of focus on the FA Cup now with their very comfortable position in the league anyway.
Yeah, definitely. That kind of blueprint victory back in November will be what they're sort of looking at again. Winners by 2-1 that day. They're 9-5 in the 90 minutes betting. Bournemouth, the draw is 5-2. Manchester City 13-10. And we talk about all the history Man City have made over the course of the last few seasons. But they've made history in the FA Cup as well. They've made 6 straight semi-finals or better. This would obviously be for 7 or more. So it's very much been a competition that Pep Guardiola has taken incredibly seriously. That's an incredible run given just the nature of the cup. And this is probably another game that's going to be goal heavy. Over 3.5 is 23-20, would have landed in Manchester City's last league game. But we've got a 25% boost on bet builders across the FA Cup quarterfinals this weekend. And I think this game is ripe for one. Given how many injuries Man City have still got in the defensive ranks, Kluivert's in great form for Bournemouth. Evan Nielsen's in great form as well. But Antoine Semenyo has been a real punter's pal this season. He's had 101 shots in 28 Premier League games, which is incredible. No surprise to know that he's had more shots on target than any other Bournemouth player, with 33. He's averaging more than one a game. He's 6-4 to have over one shot on target in the game. And he's also been booked 9 times. He commits more fouls than any other Bournemouth player this season. He's 100-30 to go into the book. So I'd probably want Semenyo heavily involved in Bet Builders for this match, because he does a little bit of everything for Bournemouth, and he's been a real punter's pal this season, that man.
Fair play, Sam. I know we're going to see you on the Racing Pod over the next few weeks. With the way trends are going, I'm sure we'll see you back for semi-final weekend next month as well. Thanks a million.
Yeah, they might roll in the first team for that one. Thanks, chaps.
All right, who you got is in association with William Hill. Remember, you must be over 18. Visit gamblingcare.ie for more. Right, let's see how we're predicting the third game of the weekend, then, moving from Saturday to Sunday. And let's have a little look here, because, again, we've got a bit of a mix when it comes to the predictions, with some people thinking it's not going to go in 90 minutes, but nobody is being a friend to Preston. So Colm has gone for Villa 4-1, Owen has gone for Villa 2-1, Jared's gone for a draw, Villa to win on penalties after extra time, John by proxy 7-0, which is probably a bit less than 150-1 on Nottingham Forest to get 7. You've got Mick going for Villa 2-0, Nathan has gone for Villa after extra time 2-1, and then across the board lower down, Phil has gone 3-0, I've gone 3-1 to Villa. And sorry, I've gone 1-0 to Villa, and Shane has gone 3-1 to Villa. Right, Ger, is this you playing the bonus points?
Yeah. Martinez, you know? Playing the bonus points, what are you talking about?
You always go for an extra time penalty.
It's the only way that you're going to catch up when you're at the bottom. You've got to zig when everybody else is zagging. Villa's form against teams who you expect them to beat is not great. That is the one thing that has held them back in the league this year, and they've been completely inconsistent. So they can put in these brilliant European performances against the best teams in Europe, think Bayern Munich, and then they'll struggle the first time around against Club Brugge when Tyrone Mings had the brain fart and picked the ball up in the penalty area. So I don't expect this to be too routine at all. And also Preston, like, think about what the atmosphere is going to be like for Preston.
Yeah.
It's going to be unbelievable. Like, we know a little bit about Preston.
Kev,
in the great tradition, Robbie Brady's playing the best football of his career and he's fully fit. So I actually think Preston will give whatever Villa team gets picked their fill of it. And I suspect that there will be a relatively weak Villa team out comparatively. Villa have much bigger fish to fry. And yet at the same time, you know, as a fan, you're desperate for them to reach a semi-final and be back at Wembley and have a chance of winning this thing.
And I wonder, when it comes to rotation, the fact it's a championship team as well, will that also play into it somewhat for Unai Emery?
Yeah, and then how do you get the emotional pitch of it right? Right, like, he's obviously a cup specialist, but he's a Europa League specialist for teams who are going up against sides who they are expected to lose against. He's not a cup specialist. Actually, I don't know what his French cup record was like with PSG when they were expected to beat teams 14-0.
I think Shane could have probably got PSG to a French cup win. So
even me.
And that's no shade on you, Shane,
no,
really.
Of course.
Yes, it is.
You've gone 3-1, Shane, to Villa, so you've got more faith than we do.
I just think Villa have too much for them. The magic of the cup made me want to opt for a bit of a giant killing, quote-unquote, this weekend. Kev, of course, up there with the top three Preston players of all time, along with David Beckham and Bobby Charlton. I've also played for Preston North.
Mark Lawrence,
of course. There's plenty of others.
I did Aaron play for them. I don't think he did actually. Well, maybe he managed them.
Okay. No, I think he managed them at the end. John Aldridge was there briefly.
Decent list of names there, in fairness, deep deal. I'm sure the corridors are plastered.
I'm also sure Preston's classic teams of about 100 years ago probably had a few good players too.
No doubt, yeah. I can't recall myself personally.
That's fair enough.
But in fairness, Preston's results recently, like, to beat Burnley, a high-flying Burnley 3-0 in the last round was really impressive, but Burnley then probably were thinking, we have a lot of money at stake here in terms of the promotion battle for the Premier League, so maybe you could take that result with a pinch of salt. And other results, they kind of lost to Sheffield United, drew at Sunderland away, which is an alright result, and with 10 men beat Portsmouth 2-1 at home in their last game. So Preston's form is reasonable, but I just think this Villa team, albeit, as Sam says, they're going to throw out, you'd imagine, Villa with the Champions League in the back of their minds, not quite a second string team, but certainly an element of a second string team. I still think they'll have too much for them. Yeah. Surely.
Yeah, it's just about getting the attitude right. Like, their strength and depth, the players that Sam just named off there, like, if none of them play, they still have incredible options from midfield forward. And I mean, Pau Torres needs to come back into the team. He's been on the bench just recently. But Konsa has nailed down, looks like, starting position for England. Tyrone Mings is playing really, really well. Mm. Like, he's come back from his injury and it took him ages to get back to this level. But because Pau Torres went out, he's now playing well. Mattsson finally made his full Netherlands debut, scored. And you're like, okay, you know, so even their second team at the minute, notwithstanding, you don't want any of them to get injured because look at the big games coming up.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also wondering on Marcus Rashford, for example, just trying to quickly Google it here. Not many players could possibly have won an FA Cup in two consecutive seasons with two different teams. Like what at United last season, if he wins it with Villa again this season. I'm sure maybe it has been done.
Some of the Portsmouth players, would they have been?
Possibly jumped ship to the next year.
Some of the Wigan players, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I need to look into it.
It's a good quiz question. Yeah. It's one you can check out for the semi-final weekend.
Exactly, yeah.
So Preston hoping to become third year in a row championship team in the semi-finals. We had Coventry last year, Sheffield United the year before that. Villa in good form as well, Ger, before we move off this game. It's only one loss in the last six. That was Palace.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the games that they've lost, like I was saying, they were ahead against Forest and they blew that and they lost that game. Which would have been, you know, a proper Champions League six-pointer. There's a few situations where they've been in control of matches and they just are coughing up chances. So I do think that Preston will score at the weekend. It's whether or not they score early or late and whether or not there's enough time for Villa to turn things around. But their bench will be, like whatever bench they have is going to be incredible at the weekend. So
let's have a look then at the last game of the weekend. This is City against Bournemouth. Bournemouth at home. And here we go. So we've got City 4-2. Colm is going. Owen has gone for Bournemouth to win 2-1 inside the 90 minutes. Ger has gone for City to win 2-1. We've got John's pick is Bournemouth 3-1. Mick has gone for City to win on penalties 1-1 after extra time. Nathan has gone for City to win 2-1. Phil has gone for City after extra time 3-2. 2-2 at the end of normal time. Shane has gone for City 2-1. And I have gone for a draw at the end of 90, 1-1, and then for City to win 2-1 after extra time. So, Stephen Doyle and Colm are the only ones who are going for a two-goal deficit here, Shane. Everyone else is going for a really, really tight game between last year's beaten finalists and this Bournemouth team have been flying.
Yeah, and I, at the start of this slot, I just distanced myself from home advantage in the FA Cup being an advantage, and yet I do think being at this game, being at the Vitality, is quite a big deal. No, I've still gone for City to win 2-1. Like, it's not like they're putting, well, they are. They're putting a lot of eggs into this FA Cup basket. And now, you know, they could end their season by lifting a trophy. And it's been a very turbulent and dodgy season from Pep Guardiola's perspective. He'll want to end it on a high. Like, 15-8, it's okay value for them to win the FA Cup at this point. But it's still, you look around at the teams that are left and there are a few banana skins. One of those banana skins is, of course, Bournemouth away. And when the draw came out, you're thinking City could have had a much, much handier run of it than this. I don't know. Like what Bournemouth have been doing all season has been brilliant as well. But and City still are missing a few players in this game. But you look at the City form before the international break. That 1-0 defeat to Forest, 2-2, great game by the way against Brighton. So dropping points left, right, and centre. But I think that's going to narrow their focus more for the cup.
Bournemouth's form brilliant up to January, but since then not great at all. Beaten by Liverpool, they beat Everton in the FA Cup. And they beat Southampton. So you would expect them to win the Southampton game. The Everton game in the Cup, maybe, you know. But since then, they've been beaten by Wolves. They've been beaten by Brighton. They've been beaten by Wolves. They beat Wolves on penalties, but they only drew with them. They drew with Spurs. Brentford beat them.
Yeah.
So they're actually without a win in 90 minutes, apart from the Cup.
In 2 months, very indifferent form.
You know, and this is the very end of a two-month period. And they're playing Man City, who are absolutely having a bet into them that you're going to win something here, lads. Like, this is totally unacceptable. So I actually expect Man City to take care of business in a relatively routine manner in this game. And I didn't realise they were such a big price.
Yeah. Maybe.
So, what price were City? Or City for the game?
For the game, they said 11-8, I think.
11-8, yeah.
I'm just verifying
you're right
now.
Yeah. Which is decent, yeah, in fairness. And if you do fancy them to win the tournament, or 8-11 were the odds on.
They're
with the odds on
15-8 to lift the cup.
15-8 to lift the cup, but odds on for this weekend.
Not odds on. For
not odds
weekend.
On.
No,
sorry,
no.
This weekend. What were we saying was we were saying something was
it
odds
would
on.
Be odds on in the FA Cup
yeah,
final.
Sorry, of course,
on a neutral venue
tomorrow.
Against any other team.
Yes.
In the, at least that's what I assumed they would be. And you know, I was putting on the spot there. We don't know who they're up against or what the injuries are going to be like.
I'm still a little bit shaky about City. I find them very, very difficult to trust. And I appreciate the argument entirely about this is all the eggs in the basket and they need to lift a cup and they're going to be entirely focused from this point. How many times during this year has it felt like Manchester City are about to turn the corner, or it's going to be a routine win. Or even I was thinking when they were playing Brighton just before the break, they're definitely going to win that game. And then Brighton come back and rescue a 2-1 draw. This City team, and my concern would be, Shane, they concede goals.
Yeah. They've been like a save in some games, in fairness. And that's very un-City-like. I'm just looking back at some of the results over in recent games. So Bournemouth are a team that certainly can do damage. And we talk about teams that you expect to get a goal. You would expect Bournemouth to get a goal in this game, at least. We thought Plymouth Argyle were going to do something extraordinary against City in the last round.
That's the problem as well with City in the Cup, because they've had Salford and because they've had Plymouth. They've used nearly second string teams both times with eyes on other competitions. Ultimately, they got knocked out.
And the other thing about City as well, and to lean into what you're saying about not trusting them. So 1-1 once in four games, drew 2-2 with Brighton, as I said, and then twice took the lead in that game. There have been occasions where City take the lead in games and just lose it. I don't know if that's an attitude thing, if they kind of fall asleep a little bit. That was a very un-Pep Guardiola thing that we've seen occur loads of times this season. So that's probably leaning into a lot of people not trusting them in terms of backing them. But I just think when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of this weekend, it will be I agree with you. It'll be a City win. I don't, maybe not as confident as you, Ger, but still, I expect them to get over the line.
My one other concern about City, all the metrics show this season, they run less, they press less than they did the year before. Bournemouth are monsters when it comes to that. That's the way that Areola sets up his teams. They've had a break. They've had a lot of time to get together. I appreciate Bournemouth have had some players out in international duty, and Huijsen is now a Spanish international at this stage after the last international window. I still think they're going to come with high energy. And if City don't match that, I think Bournemouth can take them. I still think City win. I'm gone after extra time, but I think Bournemouth can make this really sticky for them.
Is that a change in structure? Like the City stats, you know, having less pressing and that sort of thing. So they're stats that are immediately available to coaching teams at the end of a game, never mind a season. So like that seems like a bizarre...
Why does it happen?
Well, yeah, why does it happen? Because surely you see it happening in three or four games in a row and you arrest
that. You just
that.
Fix it, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Aging players hasn't helped.
Yeah, that they just physically can't. Can't press as much.
If you're putting Gundogan in to cover in for Rodri while Rodri is injured, Gundogan is not going to run as much as
Is he ruining the whole team's stats?
Well, not everyone. I mean, it is across the board. I remember there's a few games that really stood out. I think the Spurs game, remember when Spurs hammered them? Spurs were running a couple of kilometres more per City player.
Yeah, wanted it more.
Yeah, but again, that's Tottenham's style of football. Bournemouth don't play a style of football that's that dissimilar without the ball than Tottenham. And I just think if City aren't on it, and if City were to sleepwalk out of an international break...
Well, that would be mad. I mean, like, if that does happen, right, then all the speculation about the charges having an impact on the players, that comes back, right? Because to the point, the coaching staff have clearly recognised that the players are running less, and then you pick players who will run a bit more, or unless there's been a complete evolution in style and Pep isn't explaining this, but that wouldn't tally with him scratching his face off. The level of stress he has is because they're not doing what he wants them to do.
It would explain why they went to get Nico Gonzalez and to get Marmoush and to get these younger profile players to come in to try and boost them to the end of the season.
Who I presume are all available to play in this, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you'd imagine you'd throw them
and
in.
And who have started incredibly well, you would say. Baby Rodri / hat-trick in 15 minutes from the two big signings. You're like, well, that's not bad.
Decent start.
And they still have Guardiola's, 21, 22?
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to be that far away next season. I don't think that this is, assuming that they're still in the Premier League, I don't think that this is terminal in any way. Obviously, Pep Guardiola's going through a divorce. You know, that stuff really matters in people's lives.
Off-pitch stuff, yeah.
What was the Tuchel story? Did you see the
Harry Redknapp stuff?
No, not the Harry Redknapp stuff. The Tuchel, there's just something in the background there about him leaving Chelsea. An email sent by his ex-wife.
Right, haven't seen this.
Oh, yeah. There was something, it would make your eyes water, what Simon Jordan said. Anyway, look, I'll just leave that one there for you at all. Go and Google this afternoon, a little Easter egg for the people at the end of the...
Have a look.
I don't listen to Simon Jordan. I listen to Colm and to Shane on a Friday morning, as opposed to listening to Jordan. Right.
Before you finish, Will, the Will O'Callaghan, Ger Gilroy derby, Kildare 1-3 with William Hill, Offaly 11-4 with William Hill for this Division 3 Allianz Football League. Interesting.
Offaly massive underdogs for... Well,
apparently so.
Having already beaten them.
Kildare 1-3, Offaly 11-4, yeah. And Offaly were very impressive that day. 1-6.
Yeah, I think it's difficult though when you have two teams that play each other. There's now twice in three weekends.
Tough to win twice.
It's difficult to win it.
Mickey Hart wants silver. He won the league last year. He'd love to win 100%. Division 3 this year.
Awfully. He's better the weekend, Shane. Yeah. That's what I'm hearing.
11-4. By the way, Monaghan, just slightly favourites against Roscommon. 10-11, Roscommon 11-10. Some good games. The leagues. Yeah.
I thought you were going to be being sarcastic again. They're just slight favourites. They're massive favourites to win that game, surely.
But with Roscommon playing the following week against London.
And on also, Saturday as well, yeah.
And also their form. No?
Yeah, 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 probably. Roscommon kind of tailed off towards the end. But Roscommon did beat Monaghan by 5 points in the Hyde in the league. Mm. Now, having said that, Monaghan were a bit off form that day and they've kind of come into it a little bit more in the league.
Presumably Monaghan are going for this.
Yeah, 100%. They play the winner of Donegal Derry 3 weeks' time. So you can put all of the eggs into this and win a bit of silverware. And Roscommon fly to London on Friday. So
yeah, the only warning thing I would have about this is that if Roscommon didn't care too much about this final, they wouldn't have pushed to move it to Saturday.
Well, that's true.
They would have, you know, changed around on the Sunday and said, look, the game in Connacht is more important.
Yeah.
And also that last game against Westmead, Roscommon kind of were over the line. They then won by half time and ended up drawing, but they also knew the results going
ahead.
Elsewhere.
Yeah.
There's a squeaky bum time at the end.
Darren McVitie misses that 2-pointer for Cavan, and that if that goes over the bar, Cavan...
I don't know. The bit where it's like, sure, we'll go and fulfil the fixture. The team are like, are we just here?
That was hilarious, by the way.
You know. Like, and obviously, I think he calmed down a bit afterwards, but I think Monaghan are nailed on. I think Offaly are a great bet.
I don't think Offaly are nailed on, but I think they're a better bet than the odds would suggest.
Yeah.
I think Croke Park's going to suit this young
11-4, that's incredible.
Yeah. And Mickey Hart going to pitch the Mickey Hart division next year as well.
Oh, yeah.
They've got
yeah.
Derry, Tyrone, Louth.
Oh, wow.
And he's with Offaly, so all of his teams.
I forgot about that.
Every week at Derby.
It's a bit like Stephen Kenny in the League of Ireland at the moment. He's always up against a former team.
That's class.
Right, that is it for Who You Got. It is an association, of course, at William Hill. Remember, you need to be over 18. Visit gamblingcare.ie for more. We'll be back next week with the return of the Premier League.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.